Let's open our Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 6. The devil is personified in the scriptures under at least several headings, but three main ones. He came in the garden as a serpent. Serpents very subtle, and sly, cunning. And he's likened to a serpent. And he's also likened in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 to a lion who comes roaring down upon their prey. And in 2 Corinthians 11, he's likened to an angel of light. He transforms himself in an angel of light. So you can see the devil in every aspect of life. Somewhere he's at work in one form or another. Even as an angel of light, or as a lion, or as a serpent. And we're looking at a verse here in chapter 6 of the book of Proverbs, and the first few verses, for time's sake, has to do with lending money to a friend and being snared by the words of your mouth. But it says in verse number 4, "Give not sleep to thine eyes, neither slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter." A roe is a deer. "And as a bird from the hand of the fowler." So, the context of this, somebody's caught in a snare. They've signed a note, say, for a friend at the bank. And they're caught in a snare by the words of their own mouth. They've signed a note, so they're caught in a snare. And it goes on to say to humble yourself and make sure of your eye, friend. Don't even give sleep to your eye. It's likened, he says, to a bird in the hand of the fowler. Now, we're going to look at that little phrase. As a bird from the hand of the fowler. Verse 4 says, "Give not sleep to thine eyelids." Sleep is used in the Bible different ways, same as any other word. And there's a spiritual sleep. We can be sound asleep and walk right into walk right into a trap, a snare that Satan sets for us, like a fowler and a bird. With that in mind, let's look in Psalm 124. Now, Psalm 144 is some particular experience that the nation of Israel had that God miraculously averted or got them out of it. And, of course, we know there are many, many cases like that in the Old Testament where God's people were ensnared by Satan and by their enemies. And God delivered them from it. But Psalm 124, we're going to read the Psalm. "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side," now may Israel say, "if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters or troubles had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our souls. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler." The snare is broken. And we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. That little phrase, "our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler." There are three things there. There's a fowler. A fowler, of course, is a man that catches fowls. He traps birds in one form or another. Either traps, different types of traps, possibly snares in some cases, but a fowler. So he likens these men of verse number 2, these enemies of this portion, against Israel, he likens them to a fowler, a fellow that's snaring birds, a fellow that's catching birds in traps or some form or another. And the birds, of course, are likened to God's people. Israel was likened to the bird. So the Lord is speaking here about some great national disaster or calamity, that troubles that they had, that the Lord delivered them out of. Now, these are written, most of the Psalms are written from experience. They're not only inspired, but they're experiences of those people that wrote them. David wrote many of these, and this, is without any doubt, is one of David's Psalms. Just where it fits in his life, it could fit in many, many different places, because David was a man of war, and he had many victories, and he escaped many times, especially from Saul. On two occasions, he could have killed his enemy Saul, and he didn't, but he escaped out of his hand many, many times. But he's likening to the experience they had, likening it to a fowler that lays traps and baits for birds, and he's likening to God's people as birds, and he's showing that it's God's power in verse 7 and 8, that it's God's power alone that delivered them from those birds. Fowlers. So the enemy, he comes in and he lays all sorts of traps for us. The thing about a trap is that it's well concealed. We used to trap a lot of fur and things when we were kids, and birds as well. And you conceal everything very well in order to, so the bird or the animal gets caught without noticing it. And this is the way the devil works. And I think the devil is working more today like a fowler, trying to trap God's people into all sorts of immoral practices and all sorts of ways to get them ensnared and get them caught up in a snare. Look, and we're going to look at this portion a little bit, but I want you to look in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. There's nothing new under the sun. And the fact of the devil working as a fowler goes right back to the Garden of Eden. He came in as a serpent, and he trapped Eve into disobeying God and Adam. And God is delivering them, in a sense, and mankind through redemption alone. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in this particular chapter, Timothy is exhorted in verse 15 to rightly handle the word of God, to study and show himself approved, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of God. Why is, in particular, Timothy is told this is very clear in the following verses. He says, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Their words will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus." These were two men that were teaching false doctrine. The doctrine they were teaching is in verse 18, "who concerning the truth have erred, gone astray, saying that the resurrection is past already, and they overthrow the faith of some." That is, they convince some already that whatever it might mean, that the resurrection is past already. Paul doesn't know whether they're saved or not, so he says in verse 19, "because you can only know a person that's saved by them showing it. You can't see their heart, you can't see their faith, but when you see some signs, they show some signs of it in their lives, then you can accept them as being saved." Paul says, "Nevertheless, in the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his." And he says that the Lord knows whether these two men are his or not. He said, "I don't know, but the Lord knows. But let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity," moral evils. And he goes on to talk about a great house and so on and so on. But he gets down to verse number 26. In verse 25, "in meekness," he tells Timothy, "to instruct those who oppose themselves, If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So there were two men and others that were followed them who were taken captives in the devil's snare. And there's no doubt in my mind, with all of the heresy that's going on in the world today and all of the things all around us, the doctrinal and moral evils all around us, that many, even of God's people, are being snared by Satan's snare. They're like a bird caught by the fowler, Satan, and they need God's power to deliver them. Let's look in Psalm 124 again. At this portion again, I want you to notice here that the fowler, of course, represents Satan, the birds, God's people, and God's power alone is what delivered them from the fowler's snare. They were caught in it, in verse 7, they were caught in it, but the snare broke, and we are escaped. And it's great when you are caught in a snare that the snare breaks and you can go free. But I want you to notice three things that speaks about our. First, you got in verse 7, you got our souls. Our soul. What's our soul? Our soul is our life. That's the life that we have in this body. That's our soul. Every day we live, our whole life is our soul. What you do with your soul is what you do with your life. It's in fact that the words are interchangeable in many places in the New Testament. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own life, soul? Same word. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul, his life? So, their soul, that's their lives. Then I want you to notice in verse 1, our side. And if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Man, it's great to know that the Lord's on our side. Even though we get caught in the snare, the Lord's still on our side. In fact, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, it says this. If God be for us, who can be against us? In fact, that's a good verse to look at. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is one of the loveliest chapters in the Bible, especially the latter part of Romans chapter 8. In verse 31 we read that, about the Lord being for us. 8 and verse 31, Paul makes a little summary in verse 31 of all that he's taught up to this point in Romans, because in chapter 9 he goes on to teach about Israel in chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11. But in verse 31, what shall we say then? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If it had not been that God was on our side, Israel said. They were caught in a snare. The enemies had captured them. Like a fowler captures a bird. But the Lord was on their side. The Lord broke the snare. The Lord let them go. And it's great to know that whatever problems we have, whether it's our fault or not, whether we're caught unawares or whether we walk right into the snare, it's good to know that the Lord is for us. The Lord is on our side. Can't help when I'm thinking about that, of thinking back in 2 Kings chapter 6 about Elisha and a young servant and how they were surrounded by the enemy, the Syrians, and how the battle looked like it was against them. The young man was afraid, and Elisha said something like this: Lord, open his eyes that he might see that there's more for us than against us. And his eyes were open, and he saw the chariots of God and the multitude of the chariots of God all around them. There was more for them than against them. Remember Gideon, that man of God, that man of valor, was going out with, I think, about 15,000 men to fight about 30,000 people. The Lord said, you got too many. You'll defeat them, and then you'll brag about defeat them. He whittled his crew right down to 300 men. And the Lord was on his side and went out and defeated the Midianites. God is for us. Look again in Romans chapter 8. For lovely thing, if God be for us, who can be against us? No opposition. If God's on our side, there's more on our side than there is on their enemy's side. Then you got in verse number 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. No accusations. No accusations at all. Then you got in verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Who is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? No condemnation. When you think, no opposition, no accusation, no condemnation. Verse 35, no separation. Who shall separate us from the love of God? The answers are all evident. So, it hath not been that the Lord was on our side. Now may Israel say, if it had not been that the Lord was on our side, when men rose up against us, what would have happened? We would have perished in the snare. We'd have never escaped. We were trapped. We'd have never escaped. So, our souls were in need. What's that, birds or is that some kids? We could probably put that window down. I don't think they're caught in the snare. I don't think there's any fowler around catching them. So they're saying, what if the Lord had not been on our side? What would have happened to us? What would happen to you? What would happen to me if the Lord wasn't on our side? It's good to know always that the Lord is on our side. The Lord is for us. The Lord is not against us. On the other hand, the devil is always against us. He's trying to do his best in little ways to trick us, to deceive us, to fool us, to set little traps for us. And we have to be as wise as serpents, though harmless as doves. We have to have the wisdom of God to discern the Lord's snares, the Lord's traps. Many, many of God's people have been caught in snares. And though the Lord is on their side yet, they're not delivered. Their snare is not broken. And they have not escaped. And they're still caught in those snares. So, we've got our side. The Lord is on our side. Then in verse number 8, our help. Our help. Where is our help? Our help is in the name of the Lord. It reminds me of Proverbs 18 that says, Proverbs chapter 18 that speaks of the name of the Lord is like a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it, and they are safe. They're safe in that snare. And so the Lord is our help. Our help is in the name of the Lord, and it describes him as the one that made heaven and earth. The Creator, the mighty Creator that made heaven and earth. The all-powerful one that made heaven and earth. So the devil is busy laying snares. Now he lays traps in different ways. If the Lord tempted me to go rob a bank, if the devil tempted me rather to go rob a bank, it wouldn't faze me one bit. I would let that go in one ear and out the other because I have no inclination whatsoever to rob a bank or do anything like that. There's a moral law in the Ten Commandments. Part of the commandments is a moral law. and thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. Those things are clear and plain, and the devil usually wants to set traps in that particular area. Sometimes he will, sometimes he won't, but most of the time he won't. He'll set them in other little ways and disguise them so that we aren't aware that there's a snare there. Little things that he will do. Many things. We could list many, many things. Sometimes just evil companions getting too close to unsaved people, socially too close to unsaved people, will lead you into a snare. I'm thinking of a couple that were saved in meetings we had, a nice couple that went on very well for a while, and they got very friendly with an unsaved couple, and they mixed in with the unsaved couple, and they eventually left the meeting. I don't think the man is going on too well, the woman is going somewhere else occasionally, but just evil companions. Nothing wrong with associating with people if you're a testimony to them. But if you associate with people and join into their social fellowship and be part of that, that could well be the devil's snare. The devil's way of laying a snare for you and leading you astray. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:25 that the fear of the Lord, the fear of man, is a snare. It's a trap. People will refrain from doing something because of the fear of man. False doctrines. We're reading in 2 Timothy 2:26 about it being a snare. False doctrine that the resurrection was past already. And there's all sorts of false doctrines today, everywhere. We're discussing the even noon hour about this universalism that's invaded our area here, where people are believing and saying that many, that all people will eventually be saved. There's all sorts of false doctrines that are being taught everywhere today, teachings that are contrary to the Word of God. Money, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 9, money is another snare. Many were caught. The love of money is the root of all evil. And many erred from the faith because of the love of money. And that every one of us have a weakness, I think, for the love of money. And we have to be very, very careful that it doesn't become a snare to us, a trap to us, to take us away from the Lord and take us away from the things of the Lord. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, and speaking of things like that, says, it says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added unto you. That's so important. It goes on in that chapter to say, take no thought what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. Those are the basic necessities of life. But seek first the kingdom of God. Put the things of the Lord ahead of everything else. And you're not going to run into a snare of the devil in any way. But he will trick and snare people in whatever way he can. Because he's a fowler. And he lays his traps very neatly. He baits them well. And he says, there's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing in the Bible says I shouldn't do this or I shouldn't go there. And consequently leads you in there. And once you're in there, you're caught in a snare. And the only escape from that snare is our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I remember one particular case of a woman that was saved, and she went on very well for about 10 years, and then she got away from the Lord. She went off and lived with another man for about a year. She was really miserable. She was caught in the snare and couldn't get out. I know many, many, many Christians that have fallen into immorality and into situations where they're caught into a snare. Because that's what the devil is. He's like a fowler. He lays his snares. And we cannot escape on our own from those snares. But God is for us, and he can break the snares, and he can set us free. And that particular woman did have the snare broken, and she was set free. That's why it's so important to put the things of God ahead of everything else. I guess the book of Acts sets the pattern. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, it speaks about those people that were saved on the day of Pentecost, and they were baptized, and the Lord added them to the assembly, and it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the teaching. You'll never be caught into a doctrinal snare if you were strong in the apostles' doctrine. Young Timothy was told to take heed unto himself and unto the doctrine. For in doing that, he would save himself from apostasy, and he would save those that heard him, in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16. And when we continue on strongly in the apostles' doctrine, as it was taught, and that not only involved doctrine, but involved fellowship, being at the meetings all you can, fellowship. And it breaking of bread, as we did this morning, getting together to remember the Lord this morning, and prayer meetings, and fellowshipping together, being together, being separated from the world and being together with God's people is one way we can avoid the snares of the fowler. He'll get us away from the Lord. He'll get us away from Christians. He'll get us away from the meeting, all for the purpose of laying his little snares and trapping us in his snares so that we are caught in his snares and we cannot get out. So remember then, very simply, that we should not give eyes to our sleep spiritually. We should not sleep spiritually. We should be well aware we are not immune to the devil's tricks. We are deceiving ourselves when we think we're standing. The scripture says, when we think we stand, take heed lest we fall. We must be aware that the devil is very sly and subtle, and we should be wide awake to his tricks and his wiles, as it were, and really put our trust and know that the Lord is on our side, the Lord is our helper, and the help is in the name of the Lord. May the Lord bless us and preserve us from the evils and the morals and doctrinal evils of the day in which we live. Shall we pray? Father, we come to thank Thee for the Word of God. We thank Thee for the Spirit of God that Thou hast sent into the world to be our comforter, our helper, the one who came alongside of us to help us in our Christian walk. And we ever pray that we might be ever conscious of His leading and guiding in our lives to preserve us from the evil, wicked world that's all around us. Help us to be wide awake to the little tricks that He will play on us and the bait that He puts before us to lead us astray from the straight and narrow path. So we ask Thy blessing to be good upon us in every way, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yep.